And the Bible reading this morning then is taken from John's Gospel. I'm reading from John chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 15 to 20, and then I'm going to jump a little bit and go from 31 to 47. So we're starting at verse 15 then in John chapter 5. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favour, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John. For the very work that the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you. For you do not believe the one he sent. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believe Moses, you believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say?" Amen.
Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. And as we look now to these words of Jesus, we pray that the Lord Jesus will speak by his Spirit into our lives. And please help me in the words I say. So, after a break of a couple of months, I'm coming back to the Gospel of John and to this series on the questions that Jesus asks in John's Gospel. And the challenging question that Jesus asks in today's reading is this one: how can you believe since you accept glory from one another but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? But this is a good chance to recap what we've looked at so far in John's Gospel and where we started. Because there are a few of Jesus' questions that I've looked at with you so far. But before that, I began with by looking at those words near the very end of John's Gospel, the very end of the book, which tell us why John's Gospel was written. And it says, these are written. This whole book was written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God,
and that by believing you may have life in his name. This book, the book of John, is all about Jesus. It's written for all of us so that we, when we read it, could believe. It's even more personal than that. What is written in this book of John is written so that I can believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and so that by believing, I can have life in his name. I can have life, I can believe, I can come to believe, I can continue to believe. And so that by having that, by believing, I can have that life that Jesus came in order for me to have, abundant life, the best life, eternal life, that life that Jesus wants me to have. And Jesus' questions that we've been looking at, well, the question that we're looking at today, it points to something that can, for many people, stop us from having that life. Because it's something that stops us from believing. How can you believe, asks Jesus, if you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? But this also takes us back to the very first of Jesus' questions that he asks in John's Gospel, the first one we looked at, and it's closely related to that one. So I'm just going to remind us ourselves of the questions Jesus asks in John's Gospel. There are quite a few of them altogether, but here's a list of the ones we've been looking at so far. And the first one we looked at was in chapter 1, where Jesus says, "What are you looking for?" After that, we looked at some others. We looked at that puzzling question that Jesus asked to his mother, "What is that to me and to you?" We looked at that together with that question in chapter 6, where he asked his disciples, "Where will we buy bread for them to eat?" And we thought of that as a way that Jesus was challenging us as disciples. How are you going to work with me? How are we going to work in partnership with God to meet the need of people? Then we had the question to Jesus, challenging question to Nicodemus, "You're Israel's teacher, and do you not understand these things?" We also had one sermon where I considered his question to the Samaritan woman, asking for a drink. And then the last one we had back in November was this question to this paralyzed man, the man that Jesus had just healed at the beginning of today's chapter, where he asks him, "Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well?" And that's a really deep question, the more you think about it. Because of all the unhealthy things in our lives, do we want to become healthy? How far do we have that desire to really put away everything that's unhealthy in our lives? Do we want to be well? Do we want the best that God has for us? How much do we really want to be healthy? And then today we come to this question. And you can see that important word there, seeking, that comes in today's question, and also is part of that first big question that we looked at. What are you looking for? What are you seeking? And how can you believe when you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from God? What are we looking for? What is it that we're seeking? Are we seeking the glory that comes from the only God? Or if not, then what is it we're looking for? What is it we're trying to do? What is it we're seeking? What are we doing with our lives? As Jesus asks each of us these questions today, how do we respond? What are we looking for? Are we looking for the glory that comes from the only God? And we'll unpack a bit in a moment what that means. Or are we looking for something else? When Jesus asked that first question, "What are you looking for?" he was talking to disciples, or at least potential disciples, people who were coming because they wanted to follow him. And the people who had been following John the Baptist, and who John had pointed in Jesus' direction. So that is obviously a question for us as disciples. What are we looking for? The question we're looking at today, on the other hand, was to the Jewish leaders, and it was to Jesus' enemies, the people who were seeking to get rid of him. So it's not so obviously a question for us, and yet when we look at it, there is definitely a big challenge to us here. Are we looking for God's glory or for something else? Are we living as disciples? Are we in some way still motivated by the same things that motivated Jesus' enemies? And as we get to chapter 5, it's in the aftermath of when Jesus healed that man by the pool on the Sabbath day, and that we get this argument. And in the chapters following, things just hot up and the confrontation between Jesus and his enemies gets even sharper. And so Jesus ends up asking lots of questions, questions that are questions to his enemies. So we also have questions Jesus asks to his enemies. So this one, today's question, is to his enemies. And there are others later on where he asks them things like, why are you trying to kill me? Why are you seeking to kill me? Why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? I've shown you lots of good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? And Jesus, when the leaders are trying to stone him, why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? We won't necessarily be looking at each of these questions. I won't necessarily be doing a talk on each of those, because these are questions that are to Jesus' enemies. But you can, this first one is worth looking at. You'll notice in the first of those questions there, that word seeking again. Why are you trying to kill me? It's again that same word, seeking, looking for. What are you seeking? What are you looking for? And these Jewish leaders, for some reason, they were seeking to kill Jesus. And why was that? How did they get to that point? And to understand how they got to that point, in the question we're looking at today and in the passage we read, we get some insight into why that was. So let's look at verses 41 to 43, where Jesus said, I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you'll accept him. So firstly, Jesus says, they don't have the love of God in their hearts. They're missing something absolutely central that should be at the very heart of their Jewish law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, your mind and your strength. And then secondly, he's saying they don't accept Jesus. He's come, and they've not accepted him or the authority that he comes with. And as it said back at the very start of John in chapter 1, the Word who was God came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And it's sad what Jesus says in verse 39, back a few verses, that they're very good at studying the Bible, and yet somehow they don't recognise that Jesus is the one that the scriptures are pointing to. And they refuse to come to him to have life. So they don't have God's love in their hearts, they don't accept Jesus. And third, Jesus says, they're not seeking glory from God. Okay, so what does this actually mean, seeking glory from God? It says glory in this translation, in the version Bill read, even though it's still NIV, it said praise, I think. But glory especially is one of those very religious words, isn't it? Praise is a little bit as well, but glory is a very religious word. It's a word that we use mainly just about God, but otherwise not very much. But in the Bible, it wasn't just a religious word. So the word is, this is the word for glory, and in the New Testament here in Greek, the word is doxa, and it translates a word that is used a lot in the Old Testament, in Hebrew, kavod. It's not a religious word, it's a very basic word, which basically means heaviness and weight, kind of importance. But in our everyday language, there's lots of different words that we'd probably use instead of the word glory.
We might use the word honour,
or reputation, or name, as in like making a name for yourself. The word kudos is quite close to the meaning. That's a good word, but we don't use that word very often. So it's not.
But there's other words we might use: approval, respect, and then the words we use a lot, like popularity, fame, even stardom, maybe.
And you know, so you see, it's not a religious thing. This is what people all around us live for all the time, isn't it? We see people all around us today seeking popularity and fame. People who want to be stars. And younger people especially often don't care what they want to be famous for, but they do want to be famous. And it can be terrible for people's mental health. We've seen so many cases, haven't we, of when it all goes wrong. If people do succeed in becoming famous, and their lives are just ruined because they can't cope with it. And in the online world especially, we see this desire everywhere, this desire for popularity and approval. In social media, people want more likes, more subscribes. We want people to affirm what we say and do at every step. We want to see that thumbs up emoji or the little love heart. We want people's approval. And so now,
with that in mind, if we come back to Jesus' question, we can see how relevant it is. How can you believe, since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes
from the only God? Perhaps the word approval is the one we'd most likely use to capture what Jesus is talking about here. These people are happy to have approval from other people, but they're not seeking God's approval. Their maker, the only God. That's what drives these Jewish leaders. They want people's approval and people's respect. Jesus describes what these Jewish leaders are like in lots of places. There's lots, an awful lot about them.
In Luke chapter 20, verse 46, it says this:
"Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honour at banquets." Don't be like them, Jesus says. People's approval, people's respect, that's what drives them. Not the love of God, not God's approval. And so the challenge to us is, are we a bit like that? How far are we after people's approval? Can we cope if people disapprove? Is God's approval really enough for us? Is it something that motivates us? And for those of us who teach the Word of God, like I'm doing now, this is a real challenge. Because, you know, once I've finished what I've got to say to you, how do I know I'm well of them? Is it enough for me to have some sense that God is pleased or not with how I've done? Or am I all too keen for people to come up to me and give me their approval? You know, so maybe at the end of the service, if I just stay at the front and you can all make a big queue to come up and tell me how well I did, that would be great. Okay.
So
Jesus talks, there's another place where Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount too, seeking God's pleasure and reward instead of
anything from people. He says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets like the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then
Your Father who sees what is done in secret
will reward you. So what's our motivation? What are we looking for? Do we know God's pleasure, God's approval, God's love? Do we know it as something that really motivates us day by day? Or are we still just looking for human approval? Of course, it's not wrong to encourage each other and give each other praise and respect and encouragement and approval. That's good, obviously. But if getting that praise and respect is our main motivation, then there's a problem.
How can you believe, says Jesus, since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God?
If we're not looking for God's approval, God's glory, that's human approval, then Jesus warns that this is going to stop us from believing. And if it stops us from believing, then it's going to stop us from receiving the life that Jesus has to give us and wants to give us. And even those who are closest to Jesus didn't really get this at the time. So the disciples and also Jesus' brothers, they still assumed that seeking popularity and human approval was what it's all about. Because a couple of chapters after this, we read this about Jesus' brothers.
After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave Galilee, go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you're doing. No one who wants to become a public figure, act in secret. Since you're doing these things, show yourself to the world." And it says there, "For even his own brothers did not believe in him."
We need to believe and to go on believing in Jesus. We need to look for what pleases God and to seek God's approval and glory and pleasure. It's not about popularity and making a name for ourselves. Do we have God's love in our hearts? Do we accept Jesus? Are we looking for the glory that comes from the only God? So before we close, just spend a moment in prayer. Invite the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives, into our hearts, if there are things in our hearts that we need to deal with here. So I'll pray very simply using the words at the end of Psalm 139. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you know us completely and you love each one of us. And if there are things in our hearts at the moment that are stopping us from believing in you as we should do, we invite you now, by your Spirit, to show us what they are and what you would have us do about them. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In Jesus' name.